What about red flags within yourself?
Mm.
Like, what about recognizing that, bro, I just did something ridiculous right now that's out of my character because I love this person so much. I feel like way too often we are so quick to be like, that's a red flag. I'm going to call my boys or my girls and be like, yo, I just recognize this red flag. But what about recognizing the red flags within yourself? To understand that, oh shit, maybe this is where things broke down. We do that so much. I feel like we've had so many conversations within ourselves, so many conversations externally as well, where best friend is moaning and moaning and moaning at the fact that, oh, this is happening, that's happening, and this is happening, and that's happening. And I'm like, okay, why are you guys still together then? And it's like, bro, I don't know, it's not that bad.
Emotional regulation
emotional. Is amazing when you understand it. What does emotional regulation mean for those people that have never heard of it?
Emotional regulation is when you're able to regulate your feelings towards an experience. So in the context of your relationship, you need to be able to regulate the emotions that you're feeling in response to things that are happening in the relationship and put it into perspective.
So that they understand it, right? Whoever it is in the relationship, the scenario, the situation, relationship, friendship, family, so that there's an understanding, listening. Yes, yes.
Have you been in situations where you felt that your partner hasn't understood you?
Are you craving deeper connections with your partner? Are you craving feeling of being heard by your partner? Or just feeling as though you need more excitement within your relationship? Welcome back to Teddy Talks. Today we are going to be discussing decoding relationships. My name is Teddy Suarez. I'm joined by my brother Sydney Suarez, and today's topic is a topic that, given the fact that we are both single, we are just more interested in finding out more about how we can develop our understanding about relationships, partnerships, and just securing an even more successful bond moving forward.
Nice shirt, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, it's got mixed messages. We've got hearts that have got streaks of heartbreak and whatnot. But generally, it's love that I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, there's some hearts with cracks.
Yeah. Hearts with cracks, which actually, the reality of this shirt kind of depicts where I'm at right now. I've got a big heart with a crack in it.
Really?
Nah, I'm joking.
Okay.
My heart's secure.
Good.
How are you feeling at the moment?
Yeah, I'm feeling great. What an exciting topic to get stuck into. I definitely need to develop my understanding on what a good relationship looks like, because I'm not married yet, so I've obviously got a long way to go. Have we got a quote?
We have got a quote.
We like to get into quotes that sets the scene for our discussion. So what quote were you thinking of today?
So I've got a quote from Dr. John Gottman. The quality of your relationship is determined by the quality of your friendship. Decode the patterns of connection, communication, and conflict resolutions to strengthen the bonds that bind you.
The thing that stuck out to me there was that the quality of your relationship depends on the quality of your friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that resonates with me is because I'm thinking about, you know, relationships that haven't lasted, but, you know, they were really fun while I was in it.
A lustful relationship, basically.
No, I wasn't saying that. Yeah. I was no, because I'm even thinking of my previous relationship. We were friends first.
Yes.
Actually, I lie. It was lust first, friendship came after, but
this is what I said. No, lust for relationship.
No, you're right. You're yes. It's like a yes and no, because you're right in the sense that initially it was lust that attracted me to that lovely young lady who made a massive dent, a good positive dent in my life. When I was separated, I realized how much of a good friend she was to me. And you only realize that when you spend so much time with someone and they get to know you in so many different ways, and you reveal yourself to them in ways which you only would reveal yourself to close friends in such ways. So I that really struck a chord with me. It's quite interesting that you shared that with us, because I didn't know that you were going to say that. And one of the studies that I came across was a study from the Harvard study of adult development, where they were studying adult life over a long period of time and happiness. And it revealed some very, very fascinating insights into longevity and satisfaction. What makes relationships really, really satisfying? So according to this study, so more than wealth, more than fame, more than social class, more than IQ, or more than even genetics, the quality of one's relationships plays a pivotal role in ensuring a long and happy life.
Wow.
And I didn't know you were going to say that today. So
say that again. So the quality of
one's relationships plays a pivotal role in ensuring a long and happy life. So this was a study carried out by Harvard. And you opened up with that quote. It was a long one, but the part that really stuck out to me was, are you and your partner actually good friends?
Do you understand each other?
Yeah.
Do you understand when things perhaps aren't going so well, or perhaps when things are even going well, do you understand what that means to each other? I'm thinking of those relationships that when something is going bad or when something is going wrong, you know, for example, me in my situation, whenever something is going wrong, the thing that I default to is speaking to you, or speaking to Jenna, or speaking to mommy, speaking to the family, because There's a comfort in the fact that I feel as though all of you understand me from birth, which is the reality, right? From birth, I've always been around you, mommy, Charlene. Well, not so much Charlene, obviously she's younger, but it's family I've always known. And anytime something is going well, I celebrate that with family. Anytime something that is going badly, again, I try and learn from ultimately the people that are closest to me. So when you get into a relationship with someone, how do you then communicate the fact that I'm going through something that isn't quite the norm within my situation right now? I need time to myself. How do you communicate that? Or how do you even communicate what you're going through within that moment with your new partner, the partner that's now come into your life that isn't, you know, one that again, as I said, is factually on paper is as close to you as the ones that you've grown up with, the ones that you perhaps would have done the exact same thing day in, day out. You know, one might say, oh, it's love though. You love that person, so you should the person that you should speak to first is your girlfriend or your boyfriend. But I think there still has to be in light of what we're talking about, decoding relationships, there has to be a way in which the communication is developed over time, as opposed to the expectation of, we're now together, I'm now in a realm where I love you or you love me, we perhaps may live together. Whatever the circumstances may be, the communication isn't there from day dot, right? I would like to think the communication naturally needs to build over time, and the understanding of how each other operates has to build over time. And I would even argue that when you get married to someone, let's say you've been with someone for 5-10 years, you still need to develop things. And I would love for someone to throw in a comment around that topic, because obviously I'm not married. I never have been married. But I thoroughly believe that understanding not just your partner, but even friendships, new relationships that come into your life outside of partnership, you always need to be mindful of understanding each other.
Mm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think meeting someone in the middle is quite hard. You have to come outside of yourself. And coming outside of yourself might be hard if you have certain traits that doesn't allow you to do that. You know, I'm thinking of the narcissists of the world who are quite self-centered. So, you know, you bring a narcissist into a relationship environment, they're not going to be putting themselves in the other shoes.
Mm.
You know,
me first.
It's me first. And it's my needs over yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our needs. And it's, how can you not get me? I'm not trying to hear what you're saying. And that's a danger in relationships. You're being dominated by someone who's a narcissist, and becomes a very, very toxic environment. But the question, one of the questions that you asked just then was, you know, how do you communicate to someone who's not as close to you? Let's say a family member that, you know, I feel this way about something. And usually, you know, when I speak to Teddy, or when I speak to my mom, or, you know, Carlos or Charlene, or, you know, they get it. So I hope you can understand too. That conversation's not that easy, because you and I, Teddy, in this room as brothers, we can pick things up from each other, you know, like a sixth sense. You know, you, for example, may invite me to go with you to this event, and, you know, because of the nature of this event, I understand why you're inviting me, X, Y, and Z reasons, so makes a lot of sense. But, you know, all of a sudden, you're having a conversation with your partner, and you're saying to your partner, look, not you, just to clarify, you don't have a partner right now, but you were saying to me, yo, Sydney, I just invited my partner to this family social, and you know, she said that she doesn't want to come with me. That's really annoyed me. I really want to talk to her about why she doesn't want to come with me, and, you know, I don't know how to do it. And, you know, from your perspective, you know, one of the things you can think about is, how do I tell her in a way that feels right for me? that I'm uncomfortable about certain situations at this family event. So you coming with me, you'll be my support system. You'll be almost like my buffer to this situation that I'm going to experience. So the reason why I want you to come with me is because I need your support. Or, you know, I need you to come with me to this event because I really want my family to see more of you, because I spend a lot of time with you and I realize that, you know, you are also going to be part of my family and my family don't know who you are. So I'd like them to get to know you a little bit. So could you just do me a favor and just come with me to this event, because my family mean a lot to me and you mean a lot to me. So it'd be nice if you could just meet them just this once or twice a year. Whatever compromise you need to make.
It's such an interesting scenario. And as you were saying that, I was thinking that, yes, the communication from one side is fantastic. Being able to explain all those things is fantastic, but it takes two to tango. If I'm explaining all these things and all these reasons as to why I want my partner to come with me, but yet my partner isn't understanding of all those reasons and what those reasons mean to me, we're going to hit a brick wall. Because at the end of the day, there is something underlying there for my partner, which may have been big enough partner to say, no, I don't really feel like coming. Is it just an ego thing? Is it just a feeling? I don't know until I ask the question. Until I ask, why don't you want to come with me? Beyond the importance of me wanting you to come with me. If I don't dive into that so that next event comes around, will make you feel more comfortable to want to come to that event, because we've got to the bottom of that. Okay, I feel uncomfortable going to the event because I feel like people don't like me. I feel like your family doesn't like me, or I feel like, I don't know what the situation may be. Whatever situation I'm walking into, there is a niggling feeling. How do we address that? How do we work together to make sure that we all feel comfortable in whatever demand? We love anime. We love anime.
Yes, we do.
So can you imagine a world where we love anime, but our partner can't stand the idea of, you know, I can't even utter the words because I love anime so much, but can you imagine a world where your partner's like, you're not allowed to watch anime this week, or you're not allowed to watch anime anymore, or whatever it may be? It's going to cause friction, because there isn't a bit of an understanding as to the world of anime. There isn't an understanding as to how long I've been watching anime or whatever. It's just, I think it's weird you watch anime. You know?
And to take your point even further, right? When you jump into a relationship with someone, you get into this habit of doing things together. So you have your favorite series that you watch every night. You come home from work, he comes home from work, and you're binge watching from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and then you go to bed. Before he met you, he used to watch his own thing.
He used to watch his own thing, or she used to watch her own thing.
She used to watch him. Yes, you're absolutely right. So what about giving each other space to watch the things that we like to watch?
Yes. Let's have the conversation. I know we both come home. I really, really, really want to watch what it is that you want to watch together right now. Series of The Gentleman has come out. We're watching that together. We're binge watching that next episode. Episode of One Piece has just come out and I really need to watch it.
And you don't know what that episode of One Piece does for you. You know, it was quite funny. I came across this post on Instagram. I think it was Dwayne Wade watches... It was Dwayne Wade or another basketball player watches My Hero Academia, one of the animes. And I think the journalist was poking fun at him, like, how could you watch anime? Like, you're a grown man, sort of thing.
30 plus.
And playing at such a high level, multi-millionaire, how could you watch anime? And for him, it motivates him. You know, seeing those characters get at it, go after what they want, motivates him before getting on that court and dominating that team that he's going to dominate. And it's pulling this back to, you know, what's important for you and what's important for your partner. Your partner was doing things that was important for them before they met you, and you were doing things for you that was important to you before you met your partner. So, you know, those moments where you're both in bed, you know, in the morning, and you know your partner used to go to the gym at 7 o'clock in the morning before he met you, but you both like your morning cuddles. And that's a conundrum. You got a dilemma. Are you going to support your partner with who they are? Or are you going to be selfish for your own cause?
Both of them, though, because they both like cuddling. So it's like the idea that, are you going to push your partner to get up, leave you, and say, look, babe, you know, I don't love this cuddle right now. Oh, I can be in bed all day with you, but you need to go to gym. Need to go to gym. Let's go together.
But the thing is that, again, like you said, it takes two to tango, right? So, yes, one side may be being selfish, but at the end of the day, you should be thinking about the big picture. So you enjoy cuddling. You think your partner enjoys cuddling as well. But actually, you know that your partner used to go to the gym before they met you.
Well, you potentially even would have fancied that partner.
Exactly. So if you want...
Drive.
Exactly. And if you want your partner to be with you forever, you don't want them to start thinking about the things that they used to do that they stopped doing because they met you.
Resentment starts to build up. Oh, it's because of her, or it's because of him, that I'm no longer feeling as good.
That's right.
Because I feel so bad about getting out of bed because it's going to make the other person feel like they're not wanted. And even, as I said earlier on, the understanding that, oh, wait, every single time my partner comes home from a specific activity, the gym, work, what's the energy like? Is the energy uplifted? Are they... You know, every time I come from the gym, as much as I'm in pain, as much as I feel hungry to attack the day, I feel good. I feel like I've just given myself a boost of energy, especially because more time when I go to the gym in the mornings and I hit the gym in the morning, come back, have my breakfast, shower, all that kind of stuff. You can tell my energy is different as opposed to those days where, let's say, I miss the gym. I want to say miss the gym as opposed to it's a rest day. I actually miss the gym for whatever. I'm being very careful with those words for a reason because they're very distinctive. So if I miss the gym, there's a feeling of, sluggish now. I feel this, I feel that. Does your partner pick up on those signs? Does your partner pick up on the fact that, My baby has had a hard day at work. They could do with their alone time, or they could do with me giving them feeling of, I don't know the word, but
just a feeling that takes them away, a distraction that takes them away from that feeling in a positive sense. One or the other. You know, I know for a fact if my partner is saying, I'm fasting this morning, for example. I'm not going to eat until 12 o'clock. Now, if I come to the bedroom of a fantastic fry-up, smelling scrumptious, eat it in front of her and make her feel hungry. One of a better phrase, that's a huge lack of support.
You're trying to break up.
Yeah.
Try.
Making that journey harder.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make it easier? Could you fast with her? You know, I remember the episode Chris Thor. What's Thor's name?
Thor's Marvel. Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth. Yes.
He had a Netflix series talking about fasting.
There's Disney.
Yeah, and Disney series. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Disney series talking about fasting. And I think his aim was to build a longer life for himself through doing things that are good today. So fasting was one of them. And his two friends went along that journey with him. Obviously, they got to the point where they went so far in trying to support him, they tried to eat a pizza behind closed doors and pretend that they're still fasting with him. But Chris caught them. But they went along the journey with him. They weren't supplementing the journey being harder. They were trying to make that journey easy for him.
Mm.
So it's you know, although we are talking about decoding relationships, that was for me a great example of a way in which, you know, you can go along that journey. I know some people that are in relationships that perhaps one is a devout Muslim and the other isn't a Muslim, but when they go through Ramadan, that person goes through Ramadan, the other partner isn't Muslim, but yeah, they'll go through that fasting period with them, you know. And I'm not sat here saying that
that's the right thing to
do. The right thing to do, or that's the wrong thing to do, or, you know, I'm just sort of saying that in terms of relationships, when you look at the dynamics of certain relationships, at the end of the day, let's be honest, if it's not working, walk away.
Mm.
You know, if it doesn't work for whatever reason, because these pegs don't quite fit into that hole, you have to also recognize, people talk about red flags a lot today. You know, you have to recognize that sometimes just because it's a red flag doesn't necessarily mean that it's the worst thing in the world for both of you. Red flags, for me anyway, is there to be able to understand whether or not you're going to end up hurting each other or not. They're signs. At the end of the day, if the situation I spoke about earlier on was a serious problem within the relationship whereby I can no longer fast because I'm around you all the time, I want to be around you all the time, I can't help but be around you all the time, but you're not supporting me when I'm fasting, who is that on? Is that on you, the person that's fasting? Or, you know, because you are trying to make your partner do the exact same thing you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and you aren't making the decision to walk away within that moment?
I think, or in that are you moment, saying
it's on your partner?
I think in that moment, it depends on whether you have set clear expectations around what happens when you're fasting. You know, I'm about to start fasting. This is what I'm like and this is what I do. This is what I expect from you. I don't expect you to fast with me, but I expect you not to eat, you know, egg and bacon sandwiches in front of my face when I'm starving and, you know, X, Y, and Z. And it got me thinking about red flags, when you touched on red flags and realizing when's the right time to walk away, that's an interesting point, because I, even myself, I've been guilty of being in situations longer than I should have. And I should have walked away, you know, and...
Why do you think you didn't walk away? Why do you think we collectively choose not to walk away?
Because we have too much skin in the game.
Mm.
We think that I have invested X amount of years, X amount of time, X amount of money, dedication, effort, fill in the blank. And it makes you think that there's so much to lose now. So I have to make this work.
Yeah, you're thinking, yesterday I just had a conversation with my boys about how much I love her. Today I'm thinking this is...
There's no way I'm doing 180 on that.
Yes.
I'm way too invested. But, you know, there's just the reality that you're actually living, right? If your partner is negging you, I say negging, I mean putting you down on a regular basis, then why are you going to stay in this situation when you're being put down all the time and it's not making you feel like you are confident to pursue your goals?
Mm.
Why are you doing that? Are you?
We do that so much. I feel like we've had so many conversations within ourselves, so many conversations externally as well, where best friend is moaning and moaning and moaning at the fact that, oh, this is happening and that's happening and this is happening and that's happening. You know, like, okay, why are you guys still together then? And it's like, bro, I don't know, it's not that bad. You know? Then you're like, okay. But these are all the red flags.
And you should be very vigilant and worried when you see them and open the conversation up. Because if someone is actively putting you down, you know, again, let's jump back into the context of maybe a romantic relationship, then they're not appreciating your value, right? And if you're in a relationship with someone who is constantly pointing out all the negatives that you're apparently you're supposedly doing, then they're obviously not considering all the good things that you bring to the table. So again, that's
an interesting,
very dangerous and toxic environment to be in.
The only reason why I say that's an interesting one is because sometimes we could have great partners in our lives that are pointing out negatives that potentially those negatives in the moment feel like negatives, but actually it could be a good thing for you. So I'm thinking of situations where you have an ambition to want to do music, let's say. You have an ambition to want to be a musician and release songs. Your partner is always pointing out that you are home all the time. Why are you not recording? You said to me yesterday you want to do da 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 da. You want to record, you want to do this, you want to do that. Now, that might feel like nagging. Again, you know, you get to the point of recording and your partner is saying to you, oh, you wanted to release music, but you've got so much music in the bag and you're not releasing it. Release it. That could feel like, again, your partner's nagging.
I agree. Then that's more to do with the person's understanding of what the partner's communicating to them.
Mm.
You know, your perception of your partner supporting you with your goal is she's nagging you or he's nagging you. But you're in that situation, you've just painted us a lovely picture, is that your partner's trying to help you achieve your goal.
Yes.
Why aren't you doing the things that you say you want to do, you think about all the time, and you've told me, and you've done a little bit here and there, but you're not doing it all the time.
Mm.
Why aren't you doing that? Because you shared your dream with me, and this is what I also bought into. Mm. I love the fact that you want to do this.
Yeah.
So I'm in this journey with you. This is Bonnie and Clyde sort of thing.
So I'm the reason why I'm going down this trail is because I'm actually thinking of, obviously I'm a man, and I'm thinking of most men in situations where every weekend we want to go out with our boys, or we want to go and see our boys, or we want to go and do X, Y, Z. And in that situation, perhaps our girlfriend, partner, maybe telling us that, oh, every weekend you're going out all the time, or every weekend, you know, you are doing this thing that isn't the thing that you said you want to do. Now, naturally, we would misconstrue that as perhaps they're just annoyed that I'm spending time with my boys and not them. Perhaps they're just annoyed that I'm not diving into, or I'm up to no good. Or perhaps they're just annoyed that, you're just making up these different scenarios in your mind that isn't necessarily anything to do with the reasons why your partner is quote unquote nagging you in your mind. But actually, is it because we're not hearing our partner's reasoning behind whatever the topic is? They're trying to, you know, they're trying to make us into whatever we said we're trying to do. I'm thinking of so many situations as well where, from a health point of view, We get to a situation where, as partners, we've decided we want to live a healthy lifestyle, right? But on the weekends, every single weekend or every single day, we decide we're going to order McDonald's, or we're going to order Domino's, or we're going to do this and we're going to do that. One partner says, I really, really, really want to just live this healthy lifestyle that we both said we're going to do. Now all hell breaks loose. You're arguing, and there's, you know, there's friction, and that, you're just not on the same page.
Mm.
How do we combat these situations where, really and truly, we know deep down our partner may potentially have our best interest at heart, but yet we're not feeling heard? I feel like in relationships whereby we discussed the idea that we're so used to a certain way of living before we even come into a new chapter with someone new in our life that's supposed to be our forever, yet we ignore these things that are so clear in front of us. We don't want to hear our partner, be it ego, be it selfishness, be it just wanting to one-up our partner. How do we get better with those kind of things? Because I feel like that's a common occurrence in relationships.
That's a great question. And something that comes immediately to my head is this phrase, emotional regulation.
Emotional regulation is amazing when you understand it. What does emotional regulation mean for those people that have never heard of it?
Emotional regulation is when you're able to regulate your feelings towards an experience. So in the context of your relationship, you need to be able to regulate the emotions that you're feeling in response to things that are happening in the relationship and put it into perspective.
So that they understand it, right? Whoever it is in the relationship, the scenario, the situation, relationship, friendship, family, so that there's an understanding, listening. Yes, yes.
Yes. So then to put it down into, you know, what does this actually mean in everyday life? You know, take Jill and Jack in a relationship.
Great names, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Great. There's a good story about them. Fetch you some water. And, you know, you imagine them in a relationship fetching water together. And one day Jill turns around to Jack and says, Jack, I think we need to walk 3 more miles tomorrow to fetch some water.
Plain Jack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that was a good reaction. Yeah, Jack would sound very, very baffled because he's been putting in work. So, Joe, you're not seeing them buckets. What's wrong with you?
Sales guy idea.
And that's a knee-jerk reaction from Jack. Yeah. He's like, Jill, have you not seen these buckets?
Yeah, shit.
Exactly. He's like, shit, Jill. Jill. So, you know, but in that moment, you know, Jack needs to take a beat and take a breath. And be like, wait, hold on. Why do we think Jill is saying that we need to walk 3 miles when I know she's seen me with her own 2 eyes that we've been putting in work on these buckets? If I can just relax, I know I'm very, very frustrated and very angry. I can't even believe that she's got the audacity to ask me that. That's what my ego is saying. This is not why. How I actually feel about my lovely dear Jill. But this is what my ego is saying. Jill might turn around and say, Jack, there's a drought. You know, that lake we normally go to, it's dried up. This heat wave this summer, it's coming in hot. And the next lake, it's 3 miles away. But you may not even let Jill the chance to do that.
I feel like it's understanding the mission, understanding the bigger picture. Why are we on this walk in the first place? The most water, get hydrated. We go again tomorrow. So even though Jill was requesting an extra 3 miles, it's like, okay, I know in my heart of hearts, it's long. This is long. I want to do these extra steps or these extra paces. But deep down, it's for the benefit of who? Me and you. Not just a situation where really and truly, though it feels like right now I'm being nagged, the end of it, once I'm sipping that water and it's quenching my thirst, I'm going to kiss Jill.
I love you so much, Jill.
I love you, baby.
Because if you didn't tell me about the lake 3 miles away, we would have been stumped.
We would have gone back home and we would have been thirsty. And actually, the reality of the situation is you probably would have been in each other's neck because we didn't even get to the goal that we both wanted. And I think sometimes within those situations that I know I asked you the question around how do we allow ourselves to really hear our partner, really empathize with our partner, really have that emotional availability with our partner. I think it's understanding. I know sometimes we think, oh, it's not that deep. And I know certainly I've been in positions where I've thought, it's just not that deep. But really, we're just trying to understand each other. We're just trying to understand why we are here arguing, why we're having a conversation that doesn't necessarily feel like we're connecting with each other.
Have you been in situations where you felt that your partner hasn't understood you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I've been in a situation before where, for example's sake, you know, it's someone's birthday, you know? It's someone's birthday, and amongst us guys, we want to have a birthday just between us guys, like a poker night or like a get-together, but just no partners are involved. You know, the partner at the time really, really just wants to get to know the friends, wants to get to know the family, wants to get to know the guys, just wants to build a connection and what have you, which is understandable, that's fine. But at the end of the day, the message there is that the moment is bigger than you. So much bigger than you. Not about you. It's not even about me. It's about this person who wants to do this thing. Yes, I can kick up a fuss. Yes, I can have a conversation and say, oh, but my partner really wants to come. Yes, I can definitely do that. It's not going to take much from me to do that. But at the end of the day, if the answer is still no, there needs to be an understanding that we can't have an issue just because of the fact that, you know, you haven't got your way. We can't have an issue just because you haven't got your way. And I can understand it, but ultimately, this is supposed to be forever. There'll be moments where you're going to have so many different birthdays that you're going to go to. There's going to be moments where there'll be so many different events that you're going to be able to build a strong connection if you really, really do want to build a strong connection. And the roles are reversed. If, for example's sake, I then have a phone call or a conversation tomorrow where you then tell me that you and your girls are going to go abroad and you're going to have a birthday bash somewhere, I have to respect that. I can't expect that, you know, I'm going to turn around and say,
I'm going to pull up.
I'm going to be there.
I'll tell you what's crazy about that, right? I have a friend and...
You have a friend?
I have a friend. Bless her soul. She's in a relationship and she was telling me about her girls' trip last summer. And her and a group of friends went to Mykonos because it was one of the girls' birthdays. And the girls, who it was her birthday, right? She had a boyfriend at the time. And you wouldn't believe it.
The boyfriend pulled up.
And it's not even that he pulled up. He had been in the detail of the plans from the beginning.
So she's just seen him in I can't even speak. Seen him in Mykonos.
Yeah, he had been part of the plan from the beginning. 10 girls, one guy. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that I'm jealous or anything, but it's just ludicrous, right? You know, you don't. I'm not saying that
they're not still together, though.
I don't know. I haven't done a follow up on this situation, but I don't think that, you know, intruding on your girl's trips is the right way of having a secure relationship.
Mm.
If anything,
we talked about red flags.
Mm.
I know there's red flags for other people. What about red flags within yourself?
Mm.
Like, what about recognizing that, bro, I just did something ridiculous right now that's out of my character because I love this person so much? I feel like way too often we're so quick. We are so quick to be like, that's a red flag. I'm going to call my boys or my girls and be like, yo, I just recognize this red flag. But what about recognizing the red flags within yourself?
Mm.
To understand that, oh shit, maybe this is where things broke down. Maybe this is why the friction could definitely be taken away so much quicker if I wasn't that situation, right? Me just looking within myself, when I land in Mykonos, I love Mykonos, I love it. But when I land in Mykonos and I'm like, I see myself filled with my girlfriend and 10 of her girls, and I know for a fact the only reason why potentially I'm here is because maybe I don't trust that she's going to be behaving with her 10 girls, or I just feel as though I want to have a good time. I don't know. Whatever the reason may be, you'd like to think your partner deserves space with the people that they either have grown up with or the people love outside of yourself.
Hmm.
And that brings me to a question. How do we get better with appreciating the things that our partners value? How do we get better with really just taking ourselves and our egos and our pride and everything that we perhaps want within that moment, but go on, do that thing. How do we just move on from that situation without building any kind of, there's certain people out there that will build so much resentment and suddenly within an argument that happens a month or 2 months later, oh yeah, but you did that. How do we take ourselves out of that mode and really appreciate things that our partners value?
I think it's important not to keep a scorecard of what your partner is doing for you and what you're doing for your partner, because then you lose sight of what's important. And what's important is your happiness and your partner's happiness and you being happy together and building something beautiful together, raising a family together if that's what you want, or going on a journey of exploring the world, whatever it is that you have planned together, whatever dream you have. And I think that's what you should focus on. You should think about, when your partner is doing these things, are they doing these things because they don't want to be with you? That's the bottom line. Are they doing this thing because they're signaling to you in subtle ways that they don't want this relationship? Are they checking out? Because a lot of us ignore signs of when our partner wants to check out.
Mm.
What are those signs? Or is your partner doing this? Is your partner giving you resistance about this thing because you haven't fully understood the situation for what it is yet? And there is still some more conversations that needs to be had with your partner about what they're going through. I think the question that you're asking, the answer is not black and white. There's a level of appreciation that you need to have for what your partner is going through and also what you're willing to put up with. Your tolerance levels. I noticed that some of us guys, there's a number of buckets us guys fall into. Some of us fall into a bucket of, you know, we have very high expectations, limited tolerance for bullshit, and we like peace. And then there's some of us on the spectrum of, it's okay, you know, I can deal with huff and puff every now and again, and it's fine. I enjoy the back and forth sometimes. It raises my heart rate as well. I need that. I also need that. That shows me that she cares and I care. This is how we do our dance together. And there's other guys who just take rubbish on a day-to-day basis because they don't know any other way.
Mm.
And the only reason guys and girls do that, well, they do that, is because they're scared of losing that person, and they're scared of having a life without that person. You know, I didn't, you know, this is my first relationship, or this person, it took me so long after my last one to find this person, so I'm not going to find another one like this. Circumstances in which we met were so special, you can't write this, you only write this in books, so you can't repeat that again. How can I even create this sort of moment? There's a billion reasons for why you should still be together. But I think the one that should override any other reason is, you know, are you right for each other?
Mm. Bro, I remember I literally just watched Dirty Dancing the other day, right?
Mm.
And she said something, the main character who is getting with Patrick Swayze. Sorry for those of you who haven't watched it and I've just ruined it for you, but she's trying to get with Patrick Swayze. She says something. She said, I'm paraphrasing here, but she said, I'm so worried about the fact that if me and you don't get together, I don't know whether or not I'm going to find anyone else like you tomorrow.
Mm.
Something along those lines. And everything you just spoke to just then reminded me of the fact that 10 times out of 10, we have that feeling of, I don't know whether or not the grass is going to be greener tomorrow, or I don't know whether or not this person is for me, or we have that fear in us and we forget that there is going to, there's a plan. There's a plan that's written up within your life. There is going to either be a new person that comes to your life, or the person that you were with is going to come back into your life at some stage. Whatever happens, you still need to hold. I'm saying this advice with the idea that I need to take it as well. But you still need to hold on to the fact that things will be okay for the better. But the other thing that resonated with me with what you were saying was the idea that the red flags wasn't even recognized on any side. The red flags isn't recognized on the side of you looking at your situation, seeing that this person isn't for you, and also looking at yourself and seeing that you aren't resonating with this situation, but yet you still want to move forward in that situation. You still want to give your partner the benefit of the doubt. You still want to be in a situation where you don't necessarily feel respected. Why is that? Why is that every single time you're in a situation with your partner that gets heated, You don't like how it gets heated. You don't like how it's gone from A to Z. It happens multiple times, and yet you still stay in that situation. And again, I'm speaking for myself for the most part, but I know that there are so many people out there that go through that same thing every single day. And decoding relationships has so many nuances that we still potentially haven't yet covered. But there is so much meat in the things that we spoke about today that I do feel as though will hopefully segue, well, I say hopefully, will definitely segue into future topics about decoding relationships and what have you. But what would you say is your biggest takeaway from the conversation that we've had today?
We have to balance the team against the individual. What I mean by such a simple, vague statement is that, you know, in relationships, there's the team and there's the individual, yourself. And you need to think about what is good for us and also what is good for you. And it's a balancing act. And, you know, that's going to depend on the boundaries that you set and the expectations that you set. And it's, you know, it's got me thinking about what I want for my future relationships. What sort of teams I want to play for. You know, what sort of partner I want to have supporting me on the pursuit of my dreams. And it's also got me thinking about the sort of partners maybe I want to avoid. You know, there'll be ones out there that are trying to avoid me as well. We'll be both swiping.
Yes.
But yeah, there's been a lot of food for thought here. What about you? What are you thinking about? What's your biggest takeaway from today?
It's funny because what you were talking about, it just made me think of an old parable. It actually made me think of the fact that, like, Jesus, at the end of the day, he chose Judas, right? And Judas was perfect for the things that he was supposed to do in that moment. And I feel like too many times we get bogged down in the fact that we worry about being betrayed. We worry about lies in relationships. We worry about the fact that so many people in relationships may potentially disappoint us. But they come to our lives for a specific reason. So even though through those moments we're angry, through those moments we'll be upset, we'll think that life can't go on tomorrow, there's plenty of reasons to give thanks. And there's plenty of reasons for us to be grateful and really look at situations and think, I'm actually still here. Like I've gone through the situation, and now, as much as it sucked, as much as my heart felt like it was ripped out from me, there is something that I can learn from that relationship. There's something that I can learn from the situation where I felt as though the world was caving in on me. And there's so many things that we can learn from relationships that we've been in, from new relationships that we're going to enter into. But the biggest takeaway from the conversation we've had today, for me, would be the idea that we have to be better with communication. We have to be better with understanding. And hopefully, either that will paint a better picture for us to be in the best relationship that we can be in, Or it gives us the clarity to understand that that relationship isn't the one for me. So let's move on and be brave in moving on and be brave in understanding that actually moving on doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. Moving on doesn't mean that the situation is completely and utterly done and I can't be in a blissful relationship moving forward. But yeah, I'm grateful. I'm really, really grateful for the fact that there are lessons in life that we can take away and we can really, really grow. Because decoding relationships and the reason why we actually decided that we were going to do an episode like today was because of that fact that we can actually grow in whatever relationship that we're in, whatever situation that we're in.
Yes, I love that. Relationship with others, with relationship with yourself.
Yes.
Relationship with businesses, relationship with your religion, whatever it is.
Exactly.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for sharing your anecdote and gratitude and what you took away from this episode. That was very thoughtful.
No, I mean, I hope the people at home have benefited from a lot of the things that we've dissected today. Please do not forget to like, subscribe, and comment below your favorite parts of today's episode. Let us know which part of decoding relationships you've really, really enjoyed and any quotes and acts of gratitude you may have as well. We really have enjoyed seeing some of the comments from a lot of you and messages that you sent to us as well. So, don't forget to tune in next week, Sunday at 7 o'clock. Thank you for joining us.